Thanks for the great music tonight. The songs have been right on point. We are going to talk about light, and especially when Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I know we're a day late, but I just ate. Paige made some cookies back there, and I snuck one, and I've kind of got a head rush here. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was good. I may have another one if there are any left when I get back there. I know Valentine's Day was yesterday, but we're still pretty close. And I don't get into all the weird things that, you know, Valentine's Day may or may not mean. I just roll with the holidays. I roll with all of them. I roll with Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter and Halloween. And I try to use every holiday somehow to talk about Jesus, somehow, some way. Try to share something about Jesus in every holiday. I think all those days are a good day to talk about Jesus. You take Valentine's Day. It's a time that we celebrate love and care and concern for special people. Nobody ever did that better than Jesus. He demonstrated love and care, not because of he did amazing things, but just who he was, no one ever loved us more than Jesus. When we were far from God, far as we could possibly be, Jesus loved us. He gave everything for us so we could have a relationship with God. So Jesus lived on earth as a person more than 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life, and he wanted us to know about him. And one of the ways he did that is he made these statements at different times in his ministry, I am something. I am something. Last week, I lost my place. I don't even know what we talked about last week. But one of the ways is he would say, I am lots of time. It was bread of life is what it was. And that showed us last week that we need a daily relationship with Jesus, just like we need our own food. And I believe that's what the lesson was last week when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And tonight we're going to see that he talks about light. Now, the first time he says that, it's in John 8, and so I'd just like to talk about that chapter a little bit, and I think it's important to kind of give us the full meaning of what he says later in the chapter. John 8 starts out with a group of religious leaders trying to trick Jesus. That happened a lot. The religious leaders were threatened by Jesus. They were kind of afraid of who he was. Before Jesus showed up, the religious leaders had a pretty good deal going. They were they had the power. They had pretty much the final say in all religious matters. But when Jesus came to earth, he challenged their religious authority. Jesus claimed to be a higher authority than the religious leaders, and they didn't like that. Jesus did amazing things. He was compassionate. He helped people. He listened to people. He met people where they are. He spent time with them. He taught people, everyday, ordinary people, just like us, in ways they could understand. People could relate to Jesus. Didn't wear fancy clothes or robes or anything like that. He was just a person who met people where they are. And when he taught, he used examples like wind. He said the Holy Spirit is like wind. Or he would use water or a tree one time. So he used things that people could relate to, and people loved him and followed him. And the religious leaders didn't like that. They hated that. They feared what would happen if too many people started following Jesus. They felt like they could lose their power. You know, people chase a lot of things. They get caught in a lot of traps. Some people get caught up trying to follow money. Some people chase a feeling. But some groups just chase power. And this was a group that really became so addicted to their power, they missed who Jesus was. So that's what you got here in John chapter 8. They were always trying to trick Jesus in front of people, and John 8 is one of these moments. So the Pharisees, or religious leaders, they bring a woman to Jesus. They said they caught her in one of the big sins, the very act. And they said to Jesus, Moses says in the law, we can read it back here in Leviticus, that because of what she did, we should stone her. Moses said this, Jesus. Now you tell us, if you are the final authority in all of these matters, what should we do? I love this. It's a great part of the story. Jesus was writing something with his finger in the sand and acted like he didn't even hear them. And he kept writing something, and then he reaches over and picks up a rock. And I'm going to paraphrase this. And he says, okay, everybody, you win. Here's a rock. Let's stone her. You caught her. She deserves it. Let's stone her. But here's what I need. I need one of you who doesn't have sin in his life. You pick this rock and you cast the first stone. Whoa, what a moment that would be, right? Sometimes I think back, what would I do in a situation, and I'm not sure. I think, well, I hope I would do this, but still I can't be sure. I can tell you one thing I am sure that I would not have done. I wouldn't have picked up that rock. I got enough going on in my life. There is no way I would have picked up that rock, and nobody else did. Nobody else, because they were so convicted by their conscience that as he went back down and wrote some more, he looked back, nobody's there, it's just him and her. So he looks at her and he says, well, it's just me and you. I guess you don't have any more accusers. And he says two important things. He looks at her and he says, I forgive you, but go and sin no more. So he had an expectation of her to change, but he did not condemn her. And it was just a beautiful moment of mercy, and it's a beautiful story. Well, the next verse, Jesus makes a statement that I think goes along with that story. He starts teaching that he is the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. Right after he publicly forgives a condemned person, Jesus wanted to make sure that everyone knew something, that he was the source of light for the entire world. Now, what does that mean? What do we learn from that? What does that mean to us knowing that Jesus is the light of the world? Later on in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says that, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Let's read a couple more verses, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. The Bible talks a lot about life. Light. The third verse in the whole Bible talks about light. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Way over near the end of the Bible, in 1 John 1:5, the Bible says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He says, you know, if you follow me, if we have a relationship, you do not have to live in darkness. You know, lots of people you know may have places in their life, areas in their life, situations where it's just not a lit area. Maybe it's a dark area. Maybe they struggle with something. Maybe a relationship, or maybe a discouragement, or it could be anything. Jesus says, I am able to light up that life. You know, light, like I said in Mike's minute, is special. It is something that can protect us from doing something that we shouldn't. It can also light our way and show us where to go. It can give us a goal. It can also show us things in our life that we need to change, maybe things that we don't realize are harming us. So when Jesus said he is light, he's talking about things in our life that he can show us or protect us or help us or guide us. It has many, many different functions. You take the people there in John 8. The lady, obviously, maybe she had places in her relationships that were challenging and dark. Jesus can light up that part of her life. There were the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Maybe they had places that in spiritual darkness. They were so concerned about losing their power, they missed who Jesus really was and what he could do, even for them. One of them, Nicodemus, figured that out, right? That's amazing. So Jesus can light up your life. Hey, a lot of people have things in their life that are challenging, and they're dark. And maybe tonight you have a place in your life that is dark or discouraging, and you need Jesus to light it up. Maybe you just don't know what's next for you, and you need Jesus to help you, show you what's next. I've realized the older I get, the more I need light. You know what kids do? When they can't see something, they're just programmed to pick up that phone and flip it and turn on that. That's not enough for me. When I'm at home, maybe it's because I'm older, when I get dressed in the morning, I can't do that by feel. I can't figure out what direction my shirt goes or what I'm doing or what to pick out of my closet. I need lots of big light that covers a lot. Kids can just pick up the phone and get what they need and move on. I think it's because I'm getting older. I need lots of light. The more I grow in my faith, the more I realize I need lots of Jesus' light. A little light isn't enough for me. I need a big light to really show me where to go, what to do, what to stay away from. And that's what I pray. I pray Jesus really shows me so I can't miss it. And he doesn't leave too much to me to figure out. And my spiritual discernment, I ask him for a big light. And maybe that would be a good prayer for you. I go to bed earlier and earlier. When I try and watch TV in a dark room, I just get really tired and grumpy, right? I'm kind of getting grumpy thinking about it right now. Hey, let's read John 12, 46 one more time very carefully, because there's two important parts in this verse. He says, I'm coming to the light of the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I think there are two very important points in this verse. One, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It's Jesus. He is the answer to the places in our life that we can't see very clearly or we don't know what to do. He's the answer. Then he helps people living with a dark part, a dark area. Jesus, he says, I am that light. And he wants to help us, those of us that are abiding in some kind of darkness. Jesus will help us. We need light to keep us from living in discouragement. The light can protect us. It can show us where to go. But the greatest way Jesus shows us light is just by loving us. Hey, maybe you have some trouble with your relationships at home or at work, members of your family. Maybe they're just a little bit challenging. And you don't maybe know who cares for you. You never, ever have to go a day wondering if whether or not someone loves you, because I can tell you that Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he wants to bring that light into your life. He's the greatest source of encouragement that we have. One time David was really fighting a battle, and it just went badly, and it was a horrible time. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to the one place where he knew he could find encouragement, the Lord. Maybe you've tried to get encouraged from a lot of different places. You can go and ask Jesus to give you light, and he will encourage you in tough situations. A couple more verses. Look at Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is nigh," or near, "unto them that are of a broken heart." Is that you tonight? You got a broken heart about something? It says, "The Lord's near unto you, nigh unto you, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." He wants to be involved. He wants to hear what's going on in your life. Look at Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." One way Jesus gives us light is he gives us his strength. We can be strong in Jesus. And I've learned I can't handle everything. I can't handle much that comes my way. But Jesus gives me strength with his power. So when I start carrying a load that's too heavy, I remember Jesus wants to help me and be the light I need and be strong in my life. When you have a relationship with Jesus, he lights up your dark places. He gives you hope. He gives you direction. He doesn't want you feeling your way through life. He wants you to know what to do, where to go, to be protected, to light up your life and show you what to do and what to be. Father, thank you for the light you promise in Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that you are the bread of life and you are the light of the world. And we ask that you would, like I pray, that you would make things clear and you wouldn't leave too much up to me, because, Lord, sometimes I'll miss it. If you would just give me your light in situations that I have to decide something or be protected or be strong, that you would show your light in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we will see you next week. I'm enjoying this series and hope you have a great week. See you next time at the Esquire.